As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
Hey, hi everybody. My name is Rick Dietzman, and I am the associate pastor here at the church. This is the second week of a two-part series that we are covering called The We Factor, and it's about how community coming together makes all the difference in our lives in terms of our spiritual growth. And I want to just refer back to one thing I said last week to start us off again, and that was a statement by the Apostle Paul. A real good challenge for us, and it's from Ephesians 4:16. It says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work, and helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." And one of the things that stood out to me when I started looking at that passage was, it's a great ideal, but how do you take that ideal and then make it real in our lives, and in fact, in terms of how you live out your life in the church? One of the things, of course, you'll see, as you heard in the announcements, is that we make a big deal about small groups in our church. We've got over 40 different kinds of groups that are running in the fall, and all of it is starting in 2 weeks. It can be a little bit crazy. It can be a little bit confusing. In fact, if you're confused, next Sunday at 10:15 and 11:15, I'm going to do a Q&A in the portable on the other side, just in case you want to just take some time, breathe, ask some questions. You can just come on over there at 10:15 or 11:15 and do that, and help sort out kind of the different choices that are there. Because it's a great thing to find your place in a group that makes a difference in your life. And we have all kinds of things we do to help equip our leaders to do that better. I'm going to start with just the overview of that. In fact, that's what I wanted to do today, was take you through a little bit of the behind-the-scenes things I do with my leaders every single year to help them get ready to work on the growth process, because it's a little bit complicated. And in fact, the reason I call this message the integrated journey is because it has so many factors to it if we want to see growth in our lives. It's a lot more than just listening to a message on Sunday or coming regularly. There's these interactions that happen that cause us to grow. And if we can find out the right place for that, things just take off in our lives. And it's so great to see. Because there's at least four factors of spiritual growth that I've identified and I've seen other people identify. I'll just go over those briefly and then I'll just jump in. But first of all, spiritual growth is intentional. And making commitments is part of life. So when we say, I want to go someplace with Jesus, I really would love to see him do that, we can make commitments and do that. And part of that is joining a smaller group of people to help us along with that. It's also incremental. There's a series of steps that happen. And so if we're planning for that, if we're aware of that in the context of smaller groups, we can work through those steps, those things. And that all happens in the context of community. It's also habitual. So we can be reminded week after week from really great messages from Pastor Scott, from others, about the kinds of things we want to see develop in our life. For example, character development this fall. But it's the practice that happens in the smaller groups. It's the challenge about certain specifics that you can't get anywhere else. And so that's part of this as well, as part of that journey. And then, of course, it's relational, and it's the greatest thing in the world to make great friends, especially as you're spending time week after week in a church to go in and every week know some people and develop that, and that's how we also facilitate that. But the reality is, and I've seen this, I've been doing this over 15 years here, plus I was doing it before in the church I was at in California, is that we have some ideals about how that can go, and some of us have bad experiences or questionable experiences. We've been told, hey, just join a small group, join one of the ministries, and we've tried, and then it just didn't work out the way we wanted. And as I've studied that, in fact, when I came here in 2007, I was given the task of running the small group ministry. And in that first year or so, we had constant groups falling apart. We had people leaving groups, we had these crises, and it looked to me like nobody knew what to do. So I began to do a deep dive researching group dynamics and came across some great things about that. And I began to teach that to every single leader starting in about 2009. And all of a sudden, most of those problems evaporated. It was really fascinating to watch because when you know what to expect, in fact, when you join a group and you know what to expect, it makes everything go that much better. And here's the reason that most groups begin with good intentions, but not all groups succeed. There's some very common reasons. One is sin disrupts interpersonal harmony. Okay? That's a given in life. We know this. We have it happen in our families. We have it happen sometimes with our friends, and it can happen in a small group. In fact, I've learned that when most people have conflict, let's say you have a conflict at work or with someone who's more of an acquaintance, most people do two things, not three things. They do two things. One is they either fight or they flee. They just exit the situation when it gets uncomfortable. But very few learn how to resolve it in a constructive way or know the ways to do that. And so we have lots of broken relationships sometimes with people where we just avoid them, don't talk to them. But it's a wonderful thing to learn how to resolve things, and especially when you're with people on a journey in a church or in a small group. And we really try to help equip our leaders to do that and to help facilitate that. Because sometimes one other thing that happens is we're not secure or comfortable with other people. Or I'll just get into this. Sometimes groups don't know what they're doing. They don't have a plan or purpose, and it becomes sluggish and not interesting. So we have worked really hard, especially since 2009, to think about each of these areas and what it can take to make it better. And let me refer back to our scripture today for this very reason. It's Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. And it talks about a couple of things that Paul says, here's what happens when you are growing spiritually. It talks about being humble and gentle, being patient with each other, and allowing for faults. And then, it's interesting, this is a great ideal, but what is challenging to that is a lack of unity. So it begins with this idea of being humble and gentle, but then it says, keep yourselves united in the Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. So you have to keep yourselves united. It's not an easy thing. It's not a default. It's never a default. If we think that just joining something is going to be a default awesome experience, we're in for a rude awakening because we inherently miss that mark. And I think there's also some spiritual things related to that too, keeping us, Satan not wanting us to grow. So we can go forward when we take those risks. And that's one of the things, too, about even starting. When we can contemplate the idea of joining something like one of the different opportunities coming up this fall, there might be hesitancy, like maybe I don't know enough. Or there might be a logistic issue. Maybe you're still, for example, those online, you're still at home and wondering, well, this isn't for me because I'm not coming back to church right now. I'm still watching online. Well, you should know, and you may know, we have a lot of Zoom groups, too, that are continuing. And we want to encourage people to be as much involved remotely if that's where you are. If you've got illness issues or maybe you travel a lot or things like that, you think, well, that's not for me because of some reason. We can find ways around the reason if you want to connect with other people. And we've done that throughout COVID, and we're going to continue that. We still have several opportunities that are Zoom-based that facilitate connection because it's so important. So when we start out with a new opportunity, we want to start out well. And there's three things that are part of that process that we've learned. One of them, and they're all related to our feeling of being part of something that is meaningful and helps us to grow. People is the first one. You want to ask that question, do I feel included in the group, and do I want to include others in my life? We're hoping that that's the reason people join something like that, is they want to be part of something that is meaningful to them and brings them in, includes them. The other one is participation. Will my ideas be included and what are the expectations for me? Am I part of the decisions of the group? And the third thing is purpose. How will the group use its time? Will it be a waste of my time, or will something good happen? And so what we do is when we invite people to join groups, when we start groups, we are very intentional about that, realizing there's a honeymoon period when we begin, but there's also going to be some working through things as time go on. And part of that is the tension that develops. And I'll tell you a little secret. If you want to transform your life, if you want to be changed into the image of Jesus, it can't happen without a little bit of stress or pain. I want you to think about how Jesus called his disciples to a time together for 3 years. And he specifically called them out and said, hey, come follow me, spend time with me. And if you look at the stories of the Gospels, how many times Jesus would be supporting, caring, and then challenging them every step of the way, their faith, their idea of who God was, their idea about other people. Maybe they didn't like foreigners or other people, and Jesus said, look, let's not be so hard on those Samaritans. Maybe there's this woman here who's interested, and this whole village wants to come out and hear about me. You know, he challenged them, their ideas. And so the tension is actually part of the blessing of a group, as long as the group stays safe and helpful. And so it's a great thing. In fact, what happens a lot of times with those who are more inclined just to watch and not be part of something else is when something gets a little heated or maybe gets a little too personal, it's just easy to flip the channel, to drop off, to not come. But when you're part of a group and you get challenged and you love the people in that group and they love you, suddenly that thing that we've been hiding or ignoring or you know, not dealing with, it may come up in a way that God can use the others in our lives to challenge and help us to grow. And that is the most amazing thing that happens, and it only happens when we're with other people in relationships. So it's a wonderful thing to jump in with all our energy into these kinds of environments. So how do you get more comfortable? Well, there's three things that help along with that. People taking their relationship with one another seriously, that's the people part. Loving one another with genuine affection. The other one is really trying to listen to each other for our feelings, our intentions, our attitudes, and our thoughts. And that's where the questions that we ask in groups, that I design most of the curriculums, or we provide curriculums that are field-tested, they are designed to help us ask good clarifying questions about our lives and to sometimes decipher underlying anger and things like that. We are desiring to do that so that there's a sense of growth, excitement, participation, ownership, and then purpose, so that the groups meet our needs. Three things, and then I'm going to have Chris Whitmarsh, who is one of our small group facilitators, come up. He's also been part of small groups for a long time. He's going to tell a little bit about his own personal experience with this. But there are three things that we do and intentionally try to do to make groups work. One is content. We have prepared content. Some of it I write. Some of it is looked for, and we want to have that good content for us to grow in those groups. We're also committed to each other. The prep is not difficult. Sometimes it's 20 minutes of prep for a lesson. There's confidentiality in the groups, so we're committed to that in our groups. And then there's a climate, a mix of feeling and ideas, so that we can be serving, welcoming, open to people that are still early in their journey of faith, so that groups are open. And we do all that through the way we organize things. So, Chris, why don't you come on up and tell us a little bit about your experience with all that.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Rick. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Chris Whitmarsh, as Rick said. For those who don't know me, I'm the technical director here at SCC. And Rick wanted me to come up and talk to you a little bit about my testimony or maybe some personal experience that I have with small groups. And just as a little bit of background, my wife and I, the beautiful woman back there who made all the shirts, She and I joined small groups about 10 years ago. We were in Alabama back then, but about 3 years ago we started here at Squim Community Church in a small group, and a year ago we stepped into the role of being facilitators. Now, something that we've realized, and Rick kind of hit on a little bit, was that each small group is different. And that was every small group that we've been a part of, and even the small group that we're in today, that we've been leading for the last year, is different today than it was a year ago. Sadly, some people leave and move on, and they go other places, and we get new people. That's great. But I say that to make sure that I understand that, or that you understand that every experience that I'm going to talk about, it could be the same as something you've experienced or will experience, but it could also be different, because each group is dynamic. Now, I just wanted to kind of go over a list of things in general, because I don't want to betray any confidences from anybody in my group, but some of the things that we've went through together over the last year or so. COVID. COVID was hard, and our group, we all band together and went through that as one. We've had people who have had some significant surgeries, such as my wife. She had surgery because of carpal tunnel. She did not hit me. I'm in a safe place. Don't fear for me. We've had people who have had some career changes. My group personally carried me through my own retirement, which was a scary time. We've had people leave, move across the country, which was kind of a sad occasion, but we were glad to see them step out on faith. New babies. That's one of the best things about a small group, is you get to hold all the babies and then give them back to their parents. And sadly, we've also had death of loved ones through our group. So that, and I'll just generalize to say personal crises, because those are the things every day that we go through. And the times when things are hard. And those are some of the things that our group has carried me through. Now, I don't want to say that it's only there for being a parachute or having those hard times be easy, because we have also experienced and observed a tremendous amount of spiritual growth. I mentioned we've seen people leave, and they left a church that they had been at for almost their entire life, and they moved across the country because that's where they felt God calling them. We've seen people leave a career. They didn't retire. They just said, hey, I don't feel like this is where I should be anymore. I feel like God's calling me over there, and they went. And to see that, to witness that, is awe-inspiring. And probably the most amazing thing that we got to observe, literally brought tears to my eyes. I ran across the campus to find Rick because I didn't know what to do at this point, was when one of our group members began their own personal relationship with Jesus. And that was awesome. So I need to be honest about something. There's one thing I don't love about small groups, and it's the name. I don't like small. I think that Life Church hit the nail on the head when they started calling their small groups life groups, because that's what we do together. Through the bad, through the good, we do life together. So you may have noticed today, we're doing a really heavy push about small groups, and maybe not just today, maybe a lot. Maybe we do that a lot. So I just wanted to maybe explain that. Maybe you haven't been in a small group experience before, and you wonder, why do these people keep going on about small groups? I mean, if it's not telling me about money, it's telling me they want me to be more involved. What's going on? And I wish that I could do more, but let me try to relate it to you like this. If you are a Christian, or you have a sense of faith within you, there might have been a time in your life or a conversation or the phrase that was in your head when you were talking to somebody, trying to get them to understand. And that phrase would be, if you only knew. If you only knew what the love of Jesus could do for your life, the peace that it could bring, the freedom that it brings within you. And that's the same sense that I get from Rick and that I have in me, is that when I talk about small groups, when I talk about life groups, sorry, Craig Groeschel, I give you credit, but life groups is, I can tell you about some of the things that we've went through together. I can tell you about some of the things that I've personally experienced. But at the end of the day, I just want to say, if you only knew. If you only knew how powerful it could be and how amazing it feels to come into a group of believers and be vulnerable. Lay yourself out there. Put your burdens on the table for other people to help you with. You're not alone in it, and that's what our life group does for us.
So what might you tell somebody that's kind of thinking about that and wondering how could I get started?
That is an amazingly coincidental question, Rick.
It's amazing. I'm
blown away that you would ask me such a question when Scott already talked about connections. And if I look at my note cards, I have this word connections written down here. So that's ironic. So everything I'm about to tell you is in your bulletin, and Scott kind of mentioned it already. But Wednesday, September 14th, 5:30 p.m., we are kicking off Connections. And this is going to be for, I won't say four, but what we're targeting is young adults, young couples, families with children. Basically the community that is right now really burdened in this world with trying to do all of the things in a day. And so therefore they may not have time to come to a small group. Maybe they can't commit to that weekly thing right now and do dinner and, you know, preserve for childcare. So if that's you, or you know someone that fits that description and you think that they need to be in a group, let them know about this, because we've got something for the whole family, like Scott said. We've got anything from newborns to, let's just say the end of middle school right now. We've definitely got established programs for them. If they're high schoolers, we've got a lot of various options that we're working on to get them involved. And then for the adults, while all of the kids are taken care of and you don't have to worry at all, by the way, we're going to feed your whole family. Anybody like free food? All right,
yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Just checking. If you want to pay for it, you can, but it's free. So, but while the kids are taken care of, we're going to have relevant conversations to grow in community and spiritual faith. And we're going to do that by basically kind of pairing up with people who are in similar ages and stages. So whether you're decidedly decided or you're curiously intrigued, come and join us for the kickoff event on September 14th at 5:30. If you do want to come, please register on our website. We want to make sure we have enough food for everybody. So you can go to our website, squimcommunitychurch.org. You'll see the Connections banner. Click on it. It'll take you to our registration form. If you're bringing children, please list them. Tell us their ages so we can make sure we have enough volunteers in each area. Volunteers, you might get the sense that this Connections thing is big. It's a church-wide thing. So we need volunteers for that. And I promised my wife, who's also running the kitchen, that I would talk about this. If you're in a current small group, if your small group is willing to serve to make this thing a success, it would be tremendously helpful. If we had 12 small groups say, hey, we'll do dinner for 1 week, that's one night. If we had 12 small groups do that, you would serve once every 3 months. So it's many hands make light work. So we could do that. And if you're interested in helping out the kids, you can go to our webpage and do that as well. You can click on the kids section, go to volunteer, fill out your information, and we'll get you guys situated where you need to be.
All right, man. Hey, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris. Thank you, man. He's amazing. He was running sound today, too, so he's just doing all kinds of stuff. And I want to tell you, the interesting thing to me is why we even started Connections in the first place. It came about because of an amazing thing happening with our youth and children. Having so many kids in children's ministry, so many kids in middle school and high school, more than ever. I don't know how COVID did that, but that has been happening. And it all comes about by this cooperative effort that has been going on. And conversations have been happening all across, at all different areas of ministry, saying, how can we provide something just perfect and accessible for those families that are just not in the small groups? And I think this, plus other things, we're trying men's ministry. We're going to be doing some men's things in October on Tuesday nights. It's meeting all those areas where we thought, you know, you have lots of things going on in the church, but it doesn't fit me. I hope that as we continue to listen and continue to have those conversations, sometimes difficult conversations, we're going to meet even more needs in the context of our groups that are going to be just fantastic experiences. So to wrap up, the goal, and this is what I tell all of our small group facilitators when we train. We talk about how you start well, how you deal with the tensions, and even the growth things that happen. But what you want to see at the end is a move to freedom. You want to see action. You want to see even reaching out beyond our four walls into the community together or serving together in ways like helping out with connections. And so here it is. Think of ways. Think of ways together to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's Hebrews 10:24. So that we are free to be ourselves. We're accepted. We don't have to wear masks. We don't have to pretend when we're in community with other people. We can invest more deeply in the goals of service to others. We can talk openly and have a place to vent. And we are free to use our gifts. That's our goal for every ministry in this church. And that's what's going on behind the scenes constantly, day after day, as we think of everybody here in this room. Where do we fit together? So final, and then we're going to have a closing song, is the transitions. And this is one of the things that's also interesting about groups at our church, is that we have them for seasons, and then we take breaks. We take a break during the summer. We do things for several weeks and stop, and then maybe there's something else. And that way, people are not necessarily locked into something forever, but there's a chance to be with a certain group of people, maybe to change things around. Take a break, restart, and we've had that break this summer. I think a lot of people enjoyed that. Some people had barbecues and things, but we are ready to restart again, and we're ready to add people to our groups. Our leaders are ready. We just had our kickoff meeting yesterday with our facilitators, and there is a season for everything, and I think this is the season, especially for those who have not been in groups for a while or who have never been in a group, to say, hey, maybe this year will be different. And so the way to start, like Chris said, is just put your name out there and let us know. If you want to put the small groups card in the box on the way out and you're not exactly sure what group yet, we're going to help you with that. But we just want to know who would like to get that process started. And we have our team working on that, and we'll get that all sorted out in the next week or so. So we want to refresh, we want to start, and we want to multiply. I'm going to pray for us that God will be at work in that whole thing. It's exciting to be together with everybody here as well as those online. God's got places for all of us. So Lord, thank you for this morning. What a wonderful week we had with Mad Camp and all these children coming. Thank you for the families that are here too that represent those kids as well as everybody else who's here. Lord, we thank you that you are at work in our lives. You have purpose for us. And you have things for us to do together, and I pray that you would be about helping us decide which of those things to invest in this fall. In Jesus' name, amen.